Thank you all for being here bright and early. So I'm excited to be here today to talk about some of the work that I'm currently involved with, where we're in the process of really developing our academic and community partnership around the issue of HPV vaccine disparities in Iowa. And so I'm here representing my team as well, and just wanted to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation. In particular, Jason will be available by email to answer any questions about part of the project, which I'm just going to kind of touch on, so I'll talk about that a little bit later. I have no relationships to disclose. So just to give a little bit of background for why we're focused on this issue, there's alarming HPV vaccination and cervical cancer disparities experienced by both African American and Latino communities. In terms of diagnosis rates for cervical cancer as well as mortality, African American women have higher rates, and they also are significantly less likely to initiate the HPV vaccine, and this is even after controlling for access to health care. Specifically in Iowa, the data is somewhat limited, but we do know that there African Americans experience higher cancer diagnosis rates and higher mortality rates. So this was kind of an impetus for us to focus on this. We had some community partners that were really interested in just kind of understanding more. And then in terms of Latinas, the cancer rate is about 65% higher than the rate for white women, and this is national, and they have the highest cervical cancer incidence rate, so this was something that was really important to that community as well, and particularly among Midwest Latinas. So this is just kind of a snapshot of why we chose to focus on this issue. And so kind of as our first step, we wanted to form an action committee to really think about the HPV vaccine in particular. So we kind of did some formative work and a lot of conversations around, you know, cervical cancer broadly and kind of where do we really want to target our efforts. And this is what came actually from some of our youth were really wanting to focus on this because it was a very timely issue for them as they were sort of reaching that age and hearing more and more about it. And so we formed this HPV Vaccine Disparities Action Committee, and it comprised of parents and youth. We had one social service organization that we started working with who was already doing a lot of work around sexual health, around relationships, and was interested in kind of expanding. And we had family medicine providers, both nurses and physicians, and then public health researchers. And so we kind of all came together, funded by this sort of small grant to really bring ourselves together and focus on these objectives, really trying to find out what are some community-driven research priorities related to this issue, what's a long-term collaborative research agenda that we can start to develop. And then also really thinking about kind of like what you were mentioning about having those kind of tangible products or tangible goals, what can we really do to kind of guide different promotion and cervical cancer prevention activities in the community? And we initially focused on African-American young women in Iowa, so that was kind of our target group at the beginning. And so in terms of our process, so we started with doing focus groups and interviews, and we did this with folks that had kind of expressed interest in being on the action committee and wanted to learn more as a way to both get their input and also kind of start that engagement process. And so the focus for these was really what had been brought to us was that they wanted something with parents and children. So trying to figure out how could we engage parents and children in conversations around HPV and cervical cancer. And so we did focus groups with African American youth and interviews with parents, providers, and researchers. And the providers and researchers all had some experience working specifically with HPV vaccine promotion. And so after completing those, we had a feedback dinner where we shared the themes from the focus groups and interviews with our action committee and started to talk about, okay, what's going to be kind of our tangible goal for this year, our product. And they really wanted to raise awareness and they wanted a brochure. And so that was where we started. And so thinking about, okay, how do these themes and what do we need to kind of incorporate into this brochure to really meet the goals that you all have? And then what can we do beyond that? So that'll kind of be our first step. And then what do we want to think about and kind of next steps. And so then we moved into the brochure production and dissemination phase, and that was really exciting. I mean, I think this was a really neat process in terms of getting conversations started among our action committee because there was a lot of sort of fruitful conflict about what we wanted to put into that brochure, you know, and how we were going to reach different audiences. Because remember, we had parents, we had youth, and we also had providers and researchers, so they kind of all had different perspectives. So this was a really kind of back and forth process, and but we came up with something that everyone felt good about and then had a kickoff event where we really wanted to share this and kind of continue to get feedback. So it was really seen as a start for something larger, and particularly in terms of raising awareness and promoting community conversation. And then now we're in the phase of expanding our partnership. And this has been something really exciting, where we're looking at two CBPR projects that are both kind of in the early phases coming together, because we've over time have realized that we're actually focused on quite similar issues. And so these two groups are really working to come together to develop, implement, and evaluate a parent-child HPV vaccine promotion intervention. So I just want to give some overview of our themes, and this was, again, from the focus groups and interviews, and we really looked for things that were coming across both from youth, parents, and providers and researchers. So it was a lot of kind of, you know, synthesizing and coming up with these main themes. So the first thing was really, it's important how you frame the vaccine, and there was a lot of kind of fear out there, a lot of misperceptions and concerns, and so they really talked about you really need to get a clear and concise message about this, and consistent. You know, the providers are saying the same thing as what's happening with parents and youth, and how can we kind of promote that? So some of the things they thought would be most important is to talk about the vaccine as an opportunity to avoid inconvenient procedures in the future. So, you know, acknowledging that shots can hurt, you know, and kind of talking about those things, but also talking about why do we do this? You know, what are we trying to really prevent? Talking about the reason that the ages are the, you know, recommended for those ages, because that's when it's most effective. So really helping people understand that it's not really trying to kind of address some of the myths that we're trying to promote, you know, sexual activity or anything like that, and talking about this is just when the research has shown the vaccine is most effective. And then talking about it's just another vaccine. And so that was really interesting, because some people have been saying this is really an opportunity to bring up a lot of other issues and talk about sexual health more broadly. And myself with a sexual background, I was really interested in that idea. But they were saying, no, we just need to kind of talk about this as another vaccine and really get people to realize that this is something to really protect your health. And then in terms of the next big theme was promoting family communication. And a lot of this was talking about the barriers, and that's why we focused on the parent-child intervention. So they talked about there's kind of a taboo around sexual health, and so that hampers communication specifically about this vaccine, and even cervical cancer. And that it was difficult to find time, just in terms of, you know, the parents and the youth are very busy, and how do you kind of sit down, have these conversations. And then mothers may not have experience discussing this. So, again, we were started focusing on mothers and daughters. So they were just saying that, you know, I didn't talk about this. I haven't talked about this with my provider. So I don't really even know what points to bring up. And so it's a lot to ask to just say, kind of have this conversation without providing that support. But the overwhelming consensus was, despite all these barriers, it's really important to promote proactive conversations. So having this early, and that's where they talk about even younger than the recommended ages, to kind of just start talking about this and what it means and why this is important for their daughters. And they also, the mothers particularly, wanted to have kind of tools around how they could also talk about their values. So we're not telling you go out and have sex because you have this vaccine. We're telling you we really care about your health, and we think this is an important way to protect your health. So that was a really important theme. And then finally, the important role of healthcare providers. And so, and this came both from our providers themselves, but also from the mothers and daughters. And they just talked about the physician, you know, they see them as a resource and a wealth of knowledge, and so their recommendation is important. And that despite this, a lot of times there's kind of an inconsistency in terms of recommending the vaccine, even though there's, you know, clear guidelines and all of that. And so we need to think about what we're going to do to kind of engage providers in that process as well. And particularly because right now, the families that we worked with really felt that the burden was on them to kind of initiate it, but they weren't comfortable doing that. And so how are we going to kind of bridge this gap? So all of this was sort of what we decided, you know, okay, these are the main themes that we need to address. So kind of now thinking about a research agenda, what are we going to tackle first and how, but always kind of being responsive to this. So we had action committee feedback dinner, and that was really to share that information with our committee, and that was kind of the first time they all came together. So we had met with them kind of as a research, our academic research team, doing these focus groups and interviews. But this was the first opportunity where they all came together. Kind of we shared this information, talked about some of the draft materials that we had, and really got feedback. So it was really, it was a packed dinner, a lot to go over, but it was really exciting. We spent a lot of time trying to do some introductions and icebreakers, because we did have youth, parents, providers who may not naturally kind of work in this way, and so we really wanted to kind of take this as an opportunity to build some relationships and a sense of we're all working together and we all have a valid and equal perspective. And so we did that first, and then we shared the themes and got feedback. And the ones that I just presented, those are the refined themes. So there was a lot of going back and forth this dinner about what does this really mean and how can we use this to actually do something. We had some draft materials that were pulled from kind of existing resources and talked about, okay, these are sort of the educational materials out there. How can we adapt these to really be responsive to what you all told us was important? And what kind of stands out, what's missing from these materials? And then we talked about our upcoming kickoff event and did some planning around that, and then a future grant opportunity that had become available to kind of get their input on, like, is this worth pursuing as that kind of next step? So this is just kind of a little snapshot of the front of our brochure. But so after that dinner, then we went back. The academic team did a lot of kind of the checking in, refining, sending things out for the brochure because that's what the community partner said, that, you know, we want you guys to kind of take that on, and we would love to give feedback via email a lot. Was a lot of the way we did that. And so we came up with this brochure and then shared it at our kickoff event, which was a mother-daughter dinner that happens annually, and they kind of shift the focus each year depending on what the community is most interested in. And so this year they focus on HPV vaccine promotion and cervical cancer prevention. So we had a keynote speaker who was a sexual health educator to really talk about HPV and what the vaccine is and kind of address some of the concerns. We had cervical cancer prevention video that was really successful. I'll talk a little bit more about that later because we're actually using it in the intervention we're proposing. But it really stimulated a lot of discussion. It was very engaging for both the mothers and the daughters. So it was really, it was a great kind of feedback for us about this is a really useful tool. We shared the brochure and got some feedback on it, answered questions. The brochure included very specific places where you could go get the vaccine and how to access it. So we talked about that and helped people kind of walk through that. And then asked about what, so we know patient-provider communication is an issue, but we needed to kind of flesh that out a little bit more. So we just did a survey to kind of get more information about what would you want to talk to your provider about so that we can kind of start honing in on that a little bit better. So these are just some pictures from our event. So as I mentioned, we had our keynote speaker, and then we had our youth on the action committee were recognized because this was something they actually really pushed this project. They have a school group called G-World where they had talked about the HPV vaccine as something they wanted to take on that year. And so then they reached out to us about can we do something around this. So we recognize them as kind of really our catalyst for all this work. And then mothers and daughters were at tables having conversation. That's them watching the video that we shared. It was a really interactive and lively event, and they were talking about, okay, when's the next one? You know, so we thought this was a really good way to kind of, again, sort of start that process of raising awareness and kind of getting more engagement even beyond our action committee. So in terms of expanding the partnership, and I know I only have a few minutes, so I'm going to kind of quickly talk about this, but basically this was a really interesting process. So we have a health equity advancement lab at the University of Iowa where we basically meet and talk about CBPR projects that we're currently doing or interested in, you know, how's it going in different communities. And Jason and I, who are both in this lab, were working kind of independently on cancer prevention, you know, kind of from different angles. And his focus became more and more on HPV vaccine. And so we thought, wow, this could be a really good opportunity to work together. And particularly in Iowa, because the minority community is so small and often overlooked, that kind of joining efforts really made sense, really just to increase visibility and kind of start to get people more aware of some of these health disparities. So the other issue that we were both hearing in the communities that we were working with is they feel very isolated, and so, you know, health disparities can be a very daunting task to take on, and it's a lot of, you know, heavy information in terms of, like, all of these things that are quite an increased risk. And so really thinking about how can we kind of unify, and you're not alone, and we're working together, and there's kind of this larger movement that we're hoping to develop, particularly in an area where we don't even have data to know, you know, some of the things that are really important to the community. So we came together, and really these are our questions, like, can one project be adapted to these two distinct communities? And it was really great to hear your presentation in terms of thinking about different ways that the communities can maybe come together and share their expertise with each other. And can we, you know, can we encourage them to come together, both looking for, you know, commonalities and building on that, but also respecting differences, because these are two different communities, and we really want to respect that. So that's kind of where we are now, and Jason, who wishes he could be here. This is just a little bit about the partnership he's working with, which is in West Liberty, Iowa, a majority Latino community. And they started kind of broadly looking at cancer prevention, and as I mentioned, kind of honed in on cervical cancer, really largely because of, so they did a photo voice project and had a community forum, and at that forum, their keynote was a cervical cancer survivor, and her story, I mean, people were galvanized. And so it became, what can we do about this? This is where we really want to start. And that's when, you know, Jason and I started having those conversations about, wow, this could be a really great opportunity. And so what we're currently doing now is we're piloting an intervention really focused on increasing HPV vaccination among African-American and Latino youth ages 19 to 15. We're looking at doing this, continuing our, so the community action board that I described, we are now joining with their community advisory board and really trying to form, for this particular project, form one, and focus on, again, developing, implementing, and evaluating this intervention. And so just a little bit in terms of what we're focusing on, really wanting to reduce educational barriers, vaccine misperceptions, and fear and stigma related to the vaccine and HPV broadly. A parent-child intervention is what we heard both communities. Parent-child is really where they wanted to start. You know, we still have that provider thing on there because that came up as well, and we need to think about, you know, how are we going to engage providers, but they really wanted to start with focusing on the parent and child relationship and how can we promote them having more discussions about these topics. And so we're doing, again, a pilot study with pre-post evaluation and a 30-day follow-up. We got another grant from the Iowa Cancer Consortium to do this, really looking at intention to start the vaccine series and doing it with 20 Latino and 20 African-American families. And so that's, we're at the very beginning phases right now, and we've gotten feedback from our CAB about kind of the intervention materials. We're making those tweaks, and then hopefully we'll get started within the next month. So just in terms of some lessons learned very quickly, because I know I'm about out of time, I think some of the biggest things was in terms of trust and rapport. I mean, this is something that I'm sure, you know, all of you know how important that is. I think for us it was really important to make sure that we're always maintaining this, and particularly as we kind of bring these partnerships together and start thinking about, you know, opportunities for them to, you know, share resources and expertise, kind of like what you were talking about, and building communication, but making sure that they feel really comfortable in that before we kind of push it. Because, you know, Jason and I are really excited. This is a great, you know, thing from our perspective, but I think there's going to be, you know, these communities haven't worked together before, even though we have the same issue that we're focused on. They're very different experiences, so we just need to make sure that we're kind of constantly vigilant about this. It's been really important for us to have these kind of small, feasible projects to start with. It's been a really successful way to engage these communities. Both had not done research before, really had not partnered with health providers before, so this was really important for us to kind of think of something we could start with. And something for both of us, the sort of small, feasible projects that we started with were something that could have that kind of raising awareness in the community impact. And then finally, really making sure, this is where the phase we're in right now, is what are going to be our operating principles together, you know, as we merge these partnerships, expectations and roles, and how are we going to make sure that our agenda is really benefiting all partners. And so that's been really important. And for us, particularly on the academic side, really being sensitive to our community partners' multiple demands. I mean, again, since this is kind of really new, they're doing so much in the community. They are kind of the leaders in these areas, and so respecting that and really making sure that we don't move too fast, you know, and really just making sure that we're kind of thinking through what roles make sense for everybody on the team. And so this is our contact information if you have any questions, and thank you.